Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and many of you listening on our AM station know my next guest as the sports correspondent for our morning show, The Takeaway, on WNYC AM from 6 to 10. But Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is not here today to talk about gangrene, the New York Jets. He's here to talk about the other kind of green. In Ibrahim's other life, he is a policy advisor in Mayor Bloomberg's Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability. He also writes a popular blog called Brooklyn Bedouin and works at the intersection of interfaith activism and environmentalism. And he has a brand new book just out today called Green Dean, What Islam Teaches About Protecting the Planet. Hey, Ibrahim, welcome to the late morning. You can actually be on the radio fully awake for once.
Good morning, Brian.
And congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much. It's an honor and an honor to be here.
And I'm going to ask you about Jorge Posada being made the permanent DH. But you write that in some ways this book is a response to what you see as an over-secularized environmental movement. So now you've already made a portion of the audience mad. What does that mean, an over-secularized environmental movement?
I just think that people, when we're dealing with an issue as large as the environment or climate change and climate disruption, as some are calling it, the facts and the figures are clear, but people need to be connected to their self-interest. And for a lot of folks, their self-interest is connected to their place of faith. The other day, I just saw a guy when I was riding my bike over the Manhattan Bridge, and he was meditating right as you get off. Like, he was transforming that space in a way that you have to do. You have to see the world as something that's more sacred.
And we'll get to Islam in particular in a minute, which is obviously the subject of your book. But at least in Christian and Jewish America, stronger religious identification tends to be associated with more conservative politics, which generally means skepticism about the environmental movement as being anti-capitalist. And I realize there are exceptions and a debate is taking place about this, even within evangelical Christianity. But has religious America generally turned its back on the planet, in your opinion?
I think, in general, religious people have a tendency to feel as though they lose their sense of moral superiority when they have to admit that fault with how we've treated the planet. And so in this instance, you have a lot of Christians and Jews and Muslims that are actually complicit in the environmental degradation.
This is a 3-week seminar. Do very religious people get a greater sense of moral superiority, or do they become more humble, which is, I think, what you just suggested?
And that's the challenge, right? We have to figure out the idea that we're all the representatives or the stewards of God on the planet. And so with that, do we say, I can dominate and control, or do you say, how do we leave the earth better than we found it?
When the Bible gives human beings dominion, that word, over the other animals and tells us to subdue, that word, the earth, some see that as a responsibility for good stewardship, but many see that as a license simply to rule, to use other species for our survival or as a taste treat, as long as we can subdue them. You see that tension in religious America?
I think that exists throughout all the different religions in the United States. And with that, we have an opportunity because we're in America, we're a place of so much innovation, it's a place of so much change and transformation. We can actually take that idea and say, how can we leave the planet better for the people that are going to come behind us? And how do we transform it for the people that are actually here for our children?
Anybody want to call in for Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen and talk about religion and environmentalism? Muslims listening, Islam and environmentalism, but anyone else, religion and environmentalism, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post a comment to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So the title of your book, again, is Green Dean. Dean is D-E-E-N. For non-Muslims, what does the word mean?
So Dean is a religion or a path or a way. And for some folks that are familiar with the term Dharma, it's very similar to that. Dean is just a religion. It's just a way.
It's a way. So how do you see it relating to environmentalism?
Well, my dean, I'm a Muslim, so I see that what is my path and what is my way? How do I live in the world? And fundamentally, it's about consumption and how much we overconsume. So overconsumption creates toxicity in the land, in the air, and in the sea. And so what I really wanted to focus on in the book is looking at water, waste, energy, and food, and ways that we can really monitor our consumption and live a different way of life, live a different way, and using our religion as a way to sort of orient us and guide us towards that more mindful living on the planet.
You cite a passage from the Quran, a phrase, the earth is a mosque.
Correct. And that's from the a saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, where he's responding and saying that anytime for prayer, you can pray anywhere. You know, you can pray in the street. You know, when people were talking about this mosque down at Ground Zero, I was like, hey, we don't need a mosque. We can just pray in the street or pray on the rooftops or pray in the park. You know, every place is sacred.
But that's not necessarily environmentalist then, right? If the earth is a mosque means that you can practice your religion wherever on earth you are, that doesn't have anything to do with cap and trade or, you know, whatever.
I think it also has to do with the fact that everything is sacred on the planet. Like all the trees, all the wind, the air, the water, everything is sacred on the planet. And how do we treat the planet? How do we treat the wind? And I think that the earth as a mosque concept gets us to thinking, how can we return sacredness to ourselves and to the planet?
Are there other things from the Quran that are relevant?
There's a chapter 30:41 which speaks about corruption has appeared on the land and in the sea because of what the hands of humans have wrought. And some scholars have interpreted that to say that human beings can negatively affect the environment. And they've used that as a passage to specifically cite, it's chapter 30:41, specifically to talk about that Muslims have an argument that climate change is actually real, that human beings can actually impact the planet and that we need to address that.
Rick in Aberdeen, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Great to be with you. Your guest has caused me to remember, in the mid-70s, I joined a New Age Christian group in San Francisco, and we had adopted an 11th commandment. It was, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Thou shalt not despoil the earth, nor harm the life thereon. And the time is so ripe to get an ecumenical spiritual movement together to bring our energies of creativeness and love and life. And
it sounds like you and Ibrahim are on the same page to a large degree.
Speaking the same language.
So, Rick, thank you. And Ibrahim, tell us about some of your interfaith work. What are you involved with?
I'm part of a group called the Faith Leaders for Environmental Justice, which is actually a group in New York City that focuses on the intersection of water and energy and food and how faith communities can respond and lead in that regard of protecting the planet.
What's an example of particular thing you're involved with?
Well, this weekend, we're going to be doing a cleanup of a garden. We're bringing together a lot of different folks from different faiths in Bed-Stuy to prepare this garden for the winter. And that's just one small example. I was recently at the Festival of Faiths in Louisville, Kentucky, where a lot of folks were coming together to think about soil and sacred soil. So I think at this phase, it's the different faiths have to really have a level of conversation and dialogue. And then I think the work is going to get going after that.
Howard in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Howard.
Hi, I don't know if you can hear me very well, but I'll get to my point very quick. I just want to know what your guest's thoughts were on the Pope's. I don't know whether it was an encyclical he did a year and a half ago or whether it was just a comment about people being stewards of God's earth and whatnot. I want to know if your guest had any particular reaction to the Pope's comments.
Did you follow that? Were you aware of it?
I was not aware of it. But I do think in general, like the Christians that I have met across the country that I've been talking with this about with the book, we've all literally said the same exact thing, and it's been very affirming. And my parents grew up Christian. They converted to Islam. I was raised Muslim. And so for me to hear that from the Christian community and from other Jews around the country has been really an awesome part of this process.
Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Ibrahim. I met you at the Sustain event. Brian, you mentioned the quote from the Bible about
subdue.
Yeah, and that comes after be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it when Adam and Eve are created. And but that's part of that is repeated after the flood, which is environmental catastrophe of the rising waters created by bad behavior on the part of humans. And afterward, God tells Noah and his sons, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, but does not say subdue it.
I think that's a really interesting point. I think what it speaks to is the recreation and the transmutation of us consistently. We constantly have to make what we do better and do what we do more specifically focused on the planet and how we can protect the planet. And so that's really awesome that you pointed that out.
Amy, thank you. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, author of Green Dean, What Islam Teaches About Protecting the Planet. And Margot in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I was brought up Protestant, but as an adult, I do not practice an organized religion. However, for me, the closest I ever feel towards God is when I go for hikes, when I go out to, you know, go to Maine, go do things. I guess I'd be considered a green politically, but to me, the God that's there is very close to nature, and that's pretty much.
Margot, thank you so much. And Ibrahim is nodding and smiling, and so am I. I think you speak to so many people's feelings about that. And yet some Christians are skeptical of environmentalism because they think it comes with a religious pantheism, you know, the belief that God is everywhere in nature, which is not the Judeo-Christian conception of one God. Would some Muslims have that issue?
I don't know if Muslims have that specific issue, because in Islam, we believe that God created everything. So the idea that God created everything. So my response to that is, if you love God, then love his creation. You don't have to believe that God is within everything, but love the creation that God has created.
Right.
And we are part of nature.
I think pantheism gets away from that duality of God's over here and his creation is over here.
Yes. And I think part of the challenge there is that there's the benefits of the environmental movement far outweigh some of the potential, you know, ideological things that discord that might come out of it.
And of course, environmentalism, as we know it, arose from the challenges of the industrialized world and exploding global populations. Go forward and be fruitful and multiply. Yes, God, we fulfilled your commandment. Okay, God says you can stop now. You can slow down at least. But there was no equivalent either in biblical times or when the Quran came to be, which was, around 600 AD?
Yes, correct. So I think that what we have as Muslims, one of the challenges is that Muslims have been a part of this oil-based economy for an incredibly long time. Mm. And so a lot of folks are like,
On the producer end.
Exactly. So how does that fit with what your book is talking about? And I actually think that each generation has to rethink and relook at what we've done in the past. And we can do things better than what people have done in the past. And we don't have to be stuck to what people have done just because because of tradition. We can actually recreate and reimagine our future.
You getting any blowback from more conservative Muslim circles?
You know, honestly, I haven't gotten any negative vibe from any of the conservative Muslim circles. I actually, even in 1978, the holy mosques in Mecca and Medina declared that wastewater, they did a fatwa saying that you could do wastewater in the holy mosque. So I think that this is just a smart way to go about managing resources.
All right. We have 30 seconds. You do sports on the takeaway. Now, do you have a regular time slot or just as the games dictate?
Just as the games dictate.
As the news would want. Okay. How far can the Jets go this year?
I think the Jets are poised to make it to a second sort of – not the AFC Championship game right before that. The AFC is really tough. Yeah, the AFC is tough this year.
And do you like Jorge Posada being made the everyday DH for the Yankees?
I think his knees were failing him and his arm was not the cannon it once was. So I think it's a perfect choice.
Are they going to go out and get a big-time catcher now or give Cervelli a chance?
They got to get that guy from the Giants, San Francisco Giants. I forget his name now, but the
Posey?
Posey. They got to get Posey.
And then the Giants got him locked up for a few years. All right, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, you can hear him do sports on The Takeaway, our AM morning show, and he is now the author, just out today, of a new book called Green Dean, What Islam Teaches About Protecting the Planet. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll be at Human Bookstore tonight, so thank you.
What time?
6 to 8, Human in Harlem.
6 o'clock at Human. Thanks.
Thank you.